I'm talking to Eve Espy, who's head of OBGYN department at UNM School of Medicine. Welcome back to Women's Focus.
Thank you so much.
Well, last year we were talking about some improvements and some changes that you were exploring with your students and other people were around the country with cesarean section, if you remember that.
The gentle C-section.
Yes.
So we were talking about some advanced things, but now I want to say, is contraception dangerous?
So I think the answer to that is no, although everything is relative. And I think what we usually use as a yardstick for dangerous is what's more dangerous than pregnancy. And it is well known in the scientific and medical community that there are very few contraceptives that are more dangerous than pregnancy. Now, that being said, pregnancy, we've heard a lot about maternal mortality lately, and that there's a higher than acceptable rate. But even so, maternal mortality is extremely low. And the true danger of contraceptives is extraordinarily low, and certainly lower than that of pregnancy in almost all cases.
Okay. You know, one thing I was wondering is, are the new, more expensive, and sort of more complicated contraceptives less dangerous than the old, the pill that we all started with?
So I think that the most dangerous, and I hate to use that word, but the contraceptive method that is associated with occasional very, very bad side effects or sometimes even death is the combined oral contraceptive pill, which is a combination of estrogen and progestin. So the combined pill or the contraceptive patch or the contraceptive ring, those all contain estrogen. And estrogen is known to be associated with a very rare incidence of blood clot in the leg, which can go to the lung. And that extraordinarily rarely can be fatal. So when we talk about the IUD, the hormone IUD, or the copper IUD, or the hormonal implant, the implant that goes in your arm or the IUD that goes in your uterus, those either have no hormone, like the copper IUD, or they have only the progesterone hormone, which is not associated with any of those kinds of truly dangerous outcomes. So I would actually say that these newer contraceptives are, in fact, more safe than more traditional contraceptives.
Okay. So we could almost say to the people who are saying don't cover contraceptives with health insurance, we could say, no, cover, be sure you cover the expensive ones because they're much safer.
Not only are they much safer, but they work much better. Evidence also shows that they work 2 times to 20 times as they have the effectiveness than that of oral contraceptives.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Well, let's go through the other things that people, that we're going to hear and that people say who are against contraceptives and kind of against women, I think. Do contraceptives have a connection with breast cancer? No. Oh, no, it's not. Is it contraceptives or abortion?
Well, so there are some people that would suggest that both contraceptives and abortion cause breast cancer. There is absolutely no evidence base that abortion causes breast cancer, and there is very little association between any contraceptive method and breast cancer.
Okay. And is there association with any kind of cancer?
So The strongest association is that we know that combined oral contraceptives, that estrogen progestin contraceptive pill, actually prevents uterine cancer and prevents ovarian cancer. So those are the strongest associations that we're aware of relative to cancer.
Okay, so in other words, that's good.
That is actually very good. Yeah.
Well, another a statistic that I've read, this is all from a Times article that actually quoted you, and it said that there's no connection, that we don't have any figures that show that covering contraception, or in other words, not free contraception if you have insurance, does anything to prevent unintended pregnancy, that there's no correlation between use of contraception and number of unintended pregnancies going down.
I think we have great evidence that shows that when contraceptives are more accessible, that it reduces unintended pregnancy. And in fact, for the first time in decades, we've seen a decrease in the unintended pregnancy rate in our country from 50% down to 45%, which doesn't sound like much, but it's actually a huge achievement. And a lot of that likely has to do with these long-acting reversible contraceptives, the IUD and the implant, because they are so extremely effective. And reducing the price, taking away the cost barriers, just means that women have access to those methods.
Okay. And the reason that they wouldn't have access is because the reason it's expensive is because there's a big upfront cost.
So that's a whole other issue that I think we've seen a lot in the news lately is the price, the outrageously high price of many pharmaceuticals. And this is one of them. There are several IUDs now on the market. They are all extremely expensive, despite the fact that they're very cheap to make. And that's true as well of the contraceptive implant. So there's no great reason for them to have a very high upfront cost. But in fact, they do. They're, most of them are well over $500, $600, $700.
Oh. So are you expecting that that will change, that that will go down in the future?
That will likely only go down if we adopt a national strategy of requiring that there is negotiation with drug companies over the price of drugs.
Okay, so that leads me to another claim of the people that are against the states covering contraception, and that is that doctors are in collusion with the drug companies, or that they're sort of being a pawn of the drug companies who are just trying to sell all these things, and doctors are kind of willing helpmates.
That's a bit of a different topic. I do believe that pharmaceutical companies have determined ways to influence doctors' behavior in ways that doctors are not aware that they're being influenced. But I think certainly with regard to the IUDs and implants, doctors complain bitterly about the high prices of these devices, and many doctors will not stock them because the price is so high that if you miss the reimbursement for one or two devices, it's just not tenable financially. So I don't think that doctors are specifically in collusion with drug companies about long-acting reversible contraceptives, but certainly there are many examples where we have perhaps unwittingly and probably sometimes wittingly aided in keeping these drug prices high.
Okay. So what do you, when you're dealing with your students, what do you tell them? What kind of discussions do you have in class?
Well, I think that the strongest arguments for contraception in general and certainly for the long-acting contraceptives is that the majority of women desire to prevent pregnancy for many years of their lives, and that many women choose the devices, that we should remove all financial barriers for contraception because there's such a public health benefit from the use of contraceptives and to our society from reduced unintended pregnancy. There's also an enormous cost savings that has also been documented when contraceptives are available free of charge. We know that women do choose those long-acting contraceptives quite a bit, and that from a population standpoint, there's not only a reduction in unintended pregnancy and a reduction in abortion, but there's also a huge cost saving for the entity that provides those free contraceptives. So at the state level, it would save states, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars to make contraceptives available without charge.
Do you think that the doctors could be accused of being in collusion because they want women to get pregnant so that they can deliver more babies?
There's no question that we love to deliver babies and that there is a financial reward for that. I would like to think that we would not interfere with women's autonomy or what's best for women, and that is certainly not a behavior that I have witnessed in my colleagues, whether in the private sector or here at the university.
Can you give me a little idea of how contraception has changed? As we came to your office, we looked at some old-fashioned kind of contraception that you have just as something on the wall, not something to promote. But tell me about how it's changed.
Well, a shout out to Dr. Sharon Phelan, who put her contraceptive collection at our disposal. But contraceptives have changed quite a bit, and they've become, I think, safer. So the original pills were very high-dose estrogen and had more of those negative side effects and complications that we talked about. But contraceptives have, there are more of them available. Ultimately, the best contraceptive for any individual woman is trial and error on her part, and what's best for her may change over the course of her lifespan. Sometimes what's best for her may be her partner's vasectomy, but we do have an array of methods that has more depth and breadth than what was available even 50 years ago. So IUDs, implants, the vaginal ring, the contraceptive patch, these are all different contraceptive delivery mechanisms that give women a wider array of choices.
Okay. And what about the dosage? I remember when I first started taking contraceptives, they said that if you took contraceptives for 5 years, which they only figured out after 5 years, that you probably wouldn't get pregnant for about a year or so.
Which wasn't true.
So there was a notion in the past of it taking a while for fertility to return after stopping birth control pills. That's actually not the case. There's only one method that has a delay in return to fertility, and that's Depo-Provera, which is a progestin-only every 3-month shot. That does actually, there is potentially a very long delay in return to fertility with that. Mm. But basically, I think particularly with birth control pills, the dose has come down. So it's safer, there are fewer side effects, and we've also learned that taking birth control pills has a lot of what we call non-contraceptive benefits, meaning things that are really great that have nothing to do with the fact that they prevent pregnancy, like they make your cycles nice and regular, they reduce the duration of your period, they make your period less crampy, they prevent certain kinds of cancer. So I think overall contraceptives have gotten better and more user-friendly.
Okay, good. Tell me what you're talking about with your students. What are they excited about learning? What are they thinking about? Are they thinking about bringing the number of maternal deaths down, or are they thinking about getting more people to use contraceptives? What excites them?
Well, I think that one of the things that's so interesting about contraception, and one of the frames that we talk about when I talk with students or residents, is that birth control or contraception operates at a lot of levels. So individually, a woman takes it, she can prevent unintended pregnancy. That same contraceptive prevents prematurity. So pregnancy complications, right? You can't have a premature baby if you never got pregnant to begin with. And ultimately, you can't die of pregnancy if you never got pregnant. So in the larger sense, contraceptives prevent all kinds of negative downstream kinds of events. And I think now that maternal mortality really has a spotlight in this country, as it should, because our rate of maternal mortality should be much, much lower than it is, there's no question that contraception is one of the key players to drive down that mortality. So that is one of the things that we talk about, is how foundational contraception is to women's health and how it really plays a very large role for women.
Are you saying because if you are taking contraception, you can control more when you become pregnant and when you give birth, so you'll do it in a safer situation or when you're in better health?
That's exactly right. And you know, we know that most women desire about 2 children, but many women have more than that because many women have unintended pregnancies that they continue. And just to give you, for instance, in this country, if you have an unintended pregnancy, you're unlikely to die from it. But we know that in developing countries, unintended or intended, many, many women die of pregnancy-related issues like hemorrhage or infection or high blood pressure of pregnancy. So again, being sensitive to what women and families want can really be protective of their health.
What about changes in giving birth? Are those happening, or are people working on that?
I think in general there's a trend towards more patient-centered care. So that's true, I think, in birth, and that there is a large focus or an increasing focus on physiologic birth. So trying to demedicalize birth, having it occur in an environment that's less sterile, that's more welcoming, that honors women's preferences. So music, aromatherapy, fewer people in the room, less noise, you know, skin to skin, where baby gets to be with mom immediately after birth. And then trying to do that not only for vaginal birth in a hospital setting, but also in the setting of cesarean section.
Okay. And are doctors-to-be, are they excited about that, or is it hard for them? I'm not sure that they even, how much they know about the birth experience unless they've had one themselves.
Sure. Well, and we do have more and more doctors-to-be that do have their own families. That's another big change in demographics since, yeah. But I think that there's always some concern about demedicalizing a process that has been pretty medicalized.
Okay.
But I also think that we all, as physicians and as providers and as healthcare people, feel the very best when our patients are satisfied and happy with their care. So demedicalizing birth definitely fits into that category. That delivering that kind of patient-centered care is highly correlated with patients being very satisfied with those experiences.
Okay.
And certainly, I think we would all agree this is a time of very rapid change in terms of policy around family planning. So we all need to be hypervigilant to try to hold on to the gains that we made with the contraceptive mandate and that increased access to contraception. We need to be vigilant to do everything we can to try to maintain that.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Thank you.